Good morning, church.
All right.
You know, before we get started, I just wanted to share something. I shared it with First Service too. You know, there's seasons of our lives where we get stretched. And I wanted to encourage you guys that when we get stretched, it's where the rubber meets the road with our faith. It's super easy to, you know, God is so good. Everything when you're on the mountaintop and everything, you're going through a season of everything's just working. But when we get stretched and we actually feel like I can't do this, God, without you. It's the time in the valley. Okay, it's in the valley that we grow. It's in the times where we literally feel incapable that we see God move in our lives. And so I just wanted to encourage you in that. And the only way that I guess we could fail in that is to quit. So whoever that's for today, don't quit. Keep going. Hang on. God's in control and he loves you. He's for you, not against you. He knows exactly what you're feeling, the weight, even if you feel defeated today, he knows it and he's with you. And I pray that you leave different than you came in today, that you leave encouraged knowing that you are loved, that you have a purpose, and that God's got a plan, and he loves you a lot. Amen? let me open in prayer. Father God, thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. I thank you, God, that you want to teach us today, but you want to draw us near today. And I pray, and I thank you in advance for doing just that today. Let me preach clearly today and with understanding, and give us all ears to hear exactly what you would have for us individually and as a body. May you get all the glory and all the praise and all the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. So the title of my message is Unity in Christ. Will be in Ephesians chapter 2 today. And, you know, I was thinking about it, and there's so many different things that can divide us as Christians, you know, like different denominations. There's Catholics, there's Baptists, Pentecostal, and we all have our own traditions, if you will. And this letter today is to the church in Ephesus and other surrounding churches in Asia Minor. And it's encouraging. He's focusing on the division between the Jew and the Gentile. But I think we can take this today, learn from it, learn the history of it, and also apply it where need be in today's modern church. So let me get started. Paul the Apostle wrote this letter to the church in Ephesus and surrounding areas in about AD 60. Paul is on house arrest in Rome, waiting for his death sentence as he wrote this epistle among other epistles. Paul pours out his emotional revelation of identity and function as a body of Christ, in Christ. In chapter 1 and the first part of chapter 2, Paul writes that salvation is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. That by Christ's sacrifice of a perfect life lived and laid down in death on the cross, the sinner is redeemed, justified, adopted into the family, and reconciled back to God himself for his glory. This week, as we pick it up at the end of chapter 2, Paul leads the church to remember who we were before Christ. In the mindset of gratefulness, we ought to seek unity with others in the body of Christ. One God, one spirit, one church, one body. There was much division still happening between the Jew and the Gentile in the church back then. Why? Because old habits are hard to break. Amen. Unity is peace. Unity is love. Division is ego, and division is self-focused. So let's jump into this, and I'll start in verse 8 to give context, but we'll be focusing on 11 through 22 today. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, "For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, nothing you did that was good, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from the citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world." See, so first he encourages this Gentile church in Ephesus, and that it is that you're saved by grace through faith for good works. All right. There is a purpose to our lives here, as well as glorifying God, and spending eternity with him. We are created in Christ Jesus to do good works. But God's prepared those for us in advance, okay? Therefore, remember that you were formerly called the uncircumcised. So originally, so God chose a people, right? He chose the Israelites. He chose them to guide and teach, and he gave them the law. He set them apart. He chose the Israelites to set them apart from the rest of the world, to show the world that God existed, he was real, and that they were different. So one of the things that God had the men do at that time was to physically have a sign that set them apart called circumcision. Do I need to go deep into what that is, or do we all got that? Okay, good. It's a physical thing that happens for the men to show that they were set apart from the rest. A physical sign of what was happening inside to his people. Unfortunately, the Jews used that as a way to feel superior, right? Because they're sinners. We're humans. And they felt superior to the Gentile nations. He says to remember that we were separate from Christ, excluded from the citizenship in Israel, because we were outsiders and without hope and without God in the world. There was no hope at that time for the Gentile. Now, God always had a plan, but for at that time, before Christ, being a citizen of Israel was not happening for a Gentile. There was a huge, really, talk about like segregation and racism. Like the Jew and the Gentile hated each other, and they would just, they loathed each other. What a great, blessing that we've been given We were slaves to sin without God, and we've been brought into the fold where every covenant and every promise of God made to his people is now ours in Christ Jesus. Uncircumcised. To be called uncircumcised was a derogatory statement. It was a slanderous statement at that time towards the Gentiles. If you remember King David, when as he went up against Goliath, he's all, who is this uncircumcised Philistine who thinks he can come against the armies of God? It was, who does he think he is? Uncircumcised Gentile. And then we look at Pilate, who was that Roman leader who reluctantly gave Jesus over to be crucified. And I'm paraphrasing, but he said something like, what, you think I'm a Jew? Like, so it was like back and forth, like, what, you think I'm a Jew? No way. You know, I'm a Roman, I'm a Gentile. And then Jews were like, who are you, uncircumcised? Philip, Gentile. So there was animosity between the two people. Paul's reminding the Gentiles to be grateful for what they received from God. Same covenant promises that the Israelites received. In Romans chapter 9, verses 3 through 5, it says this, and this is Paul, like, just pouring it out. For I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my people, those of my own race, the people of Israel. Theirs is the adoption to sonship. Theirs the divine glory, the covenants, the receiving of the law, the temple worship and the promises. Theirs are the patriarchs, and from them is traced the human ancestry of the Messiah, who is God over all, forever praised. Amen. He's like, oh my gosh, if my Jewish brothers would just open their eyes and know that the Messiah has come, that it is Jesus Christ, I would rather myself be cursed and cut off that they might be saved. So we see that there is something very special about Israel in being chosen to receive the law. I mean, to be the first ones to walk with God, to be able to worship in the temple with the holiest of holies, the presence of God in the middle, where only a priest could go once a year after being totally sanctified into his presence. But the patriarchs, all the OGs, to put it in a modern, of the Bible that walked with God before Christ. And I want to take a moment right now to address something that is kind of happening in our modern day between the church and Israel, and kind of where I stand on it. And listen, I'm not getting political, but unfortunately it's hard to talk about anything without it sounding political these days, because they've smeared everything together, right? But seriously, just for our benefit. So I have the utmost respect and love for Israel because of these things. Because they were given the law. Like they were the first ones that walked with God, and they messed up the whole time, which is giving me, it encourages me, but I have a respect for that. Now, in the same breath, if I disagree with something that modern day Israel or the government does, I'm allowed to call sin sin without being an anti-Semite. Amen? Okay, so I still have the respect and the love, and I pray for Israel that they would, all of them would give their lives to Christ. All of them would open their eyes. And I know that God has a special place And he had a plan, or a special plan, excuse me, for Israel. But just as Jesus called some of them the synagogue of Satan, okay, so there's good Jews and bad Jews. There's good Christians and there's bad Christians, amen? So we don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, right? Like, there's gonna be bad in every sect, every denomination. And this is why I want to share this with you, because I believe that there's a spirit of the age. There's a spirit behind that is trying to divide us again. That is trying to pit us against Israel to where we would just hate on them and throw all of them in the same bucket. And I want to encourage you to refrain from that. And again, if you see somebody sin, whether a Christian or a non-Christian or a Jew, you can go, that's sin. And it doesn't make you a racist, an anti-Semite, you know what I mean? What's another one? all of whatever thing. You're calling out sin. Okay? And you can, by the way, you can do it in love. You can do it with peace. And you can do it prayerfully. So it started with Abraham, right? Let's look at it in Genesis 22. Now, Abraham has just taken his son Isaac. God told him, I want you to sacrifice your son. And in obedience, Abraham takes his son and he's walking up and he's like, Dad, where's the sacrifice? And he goes, God will provide the sacrifice. But Abraham, in obedience, does it. And right before he's going to do it, God goes, stop. And there was a ram in the bush. God provided the sacrifice. It was a beautiful picture of what God was going to do for us with his son, Jesus. That he would provide the sacrifice for us. And so we pick it up in verse 17, where God says to Abraham, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me, Abraham. So I want you to see something very, very beautiful here. He didn't say, and through your offspring, Israel will be blessed. He said, all nations on earth. Through your offspring or seed, the Messiah will come and he will bless all the nations. See, it was in God's plan, even in the Old Testament, for us Gentiles to be saved. All nations. All nations. It's very encouraging to see that God spoke to Abraham, blessed him, and said, all nations will be blessed because you've obeyed me. Through your seed, the Messiah will come. You see, God wanted Israel to be a funnel, not a bucket. He wanted Israel to teach the world about the ways of God through example, through setting them apart, that they would share. Well, I'll get to that. But not to, you know, take it, own it, and go, well, we're Jews and you're not. We're God's chosen and you're not. But because we're sinners, because they're sinners, they did. Okay? Now, Christ eliminated that need for physical circumcision. In 1 Corinthians 7:19, Paul says this to the Corinthian church, circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing. Keeping God's commands is what counts. It is being faithful to God. It's being circumcised in the heart. And he explains this in Romans chapter 2, verses 28 and 29. A person is not a Jew who is one only outwardly, nor is circumcision merely outward and physical. No, a person is a Jew who is one inwardly. And circumcision is circumcision of the heart by the Spirit, not by the written code. Such a person's praise is not from other people, but from God. A person is a child of God when there's a heart change, which brings forth a life change. We are adopted Jews by heart, circumcised hearts. The Jewish tradition became the ceremonial law and all of the stuff that you had to do and you couldn't do. Don't eat bacon. I like mine extra crispy. But Paul is saying because of Christ, when Christ died on the cross, all the ceremonial law was abolished. There's no need. The moral law is still in effect because he fulfilled the moral law. So that in that God, it says in the scriptures that God placed the moral law on the heart of every man. Every woman, that we actually know the difference between right and wrong. Some people call it your conscience. But the moral law is not abolished. The moral law is still in effect. Jesus fulfilled the moral law. Therefore, he says, it's super easy, guys. There's two major ones. And if you do them, you'll fulfill all the rest of them. Love God and love others. Because if you're loving God correctly, you'll love others better. We're sinners. We're going to mess up. But if we're, and we'll even mess up loving God correctly. Amen. But when we love God, we love each other better. If I love you, I won't lie to you. If I'm loving you correctly, I won't steal from you. If I'm loving you correctly, I won't murder you. And all the other commandments, right? It just comes down to love. That Jesus simplified it. Oh my gosh. Thank you, Lord. And by his sacrifice, by the blood of Christ, I'm going to hammer this into you guys week after week. It's because of the perfect blood of Jesus and your faith in the finished work on the cross. God sees you as holy and blameless. So don't let your mind, don't let your own baggage and garbage or the devil or your flesh or whatever you want to call it lie to you and tell you that you're not loved by God. He sees you as holy and blameless. So when you fall, get back up again. Keep on, repent. Don't just, it's not a green light to just live however you want to live. If you're doing that, you're not really loving God correctly. Amen. Right? We sin, but we're not just full blast, pedal to the metal, top down, just woo! We're focused. I want to walk with you intimately, God. Help me do that. And the more that I love you, which means I spend time with you. I spend time in your word. I spend time in fellowship with others talking about you. I spend time in prayer. I'm filling myself with the truth, right? And it's when I know the truth will set me free. And when I have the truth, so I've been set free. Now I can set other captives free. How do I do that? Sharing the truth. I study the word not out of a religious duty. I study the word to understand it more, so when I have the opportunity, I can deliver it in a real way where people can actually understand what I'm talking about. Amen? Right? And it'll be your way. Your way will be different than my way, but it'll be your way. And remember, God has orchestrated all of these good deeds for you. So when we're loving God in the right way and we're loving others in the right way, we just take what we have and use it. You know, hey, and you know, I share this with First Service. It may be just like, hey, can I pray with you? I'm going to share something with you. There was a time in my walk with Christ where praying with somebody made me, I was fearful. I don't know what to say. You know, we're in the gym right now. There's people around, or like, you know, you're at a football game. There's so many people around, and like, no way. That's fear. I'm encouraging you to that's faith is stepping out. I know what my feeling, my feelings are like. My flesh is like, no. But God, I know this person needs a word from you. They need an encouragement. I know we're in the middle of the gym, but hey, can I pray for you? And when we do that, you just pray. God, I pray you bless him, Lord. I pray you'd fill him with wisdom. I pray that I thank you that you'll make provision in their life wherever they need it. And when you do that, everybody else is watching. See, where I used to be scared to do that, I'll do that in a stadium full of people because I'm praying for this person, but I'm also going, God, I hope everybody's watching. I hope everybody sees this, not because it makes me cool or anything like that. I want them to see it because this is what your people do. And it'll either bring conviction or encouragement, right? So when we step out in faith and we begin to operate in these good deeds that God's already planned out for us, we will reap the fruit of that. And it's all because we've been brought in. We are now one of the chosen ones. That means that that we carry power. The power of God lives within us. Let's go to verse 13 of chapter 2 of Ephesians. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Now, Paul is talking about location, physically and spiritually. Because when you were a Gentile, you weren't living in Israel. You weren't living near the temple of where God was. You were far away. Those who were called near were the Jews, because they were near the temple. They were near the presence of God. So this is Paul saying, you who were once far away have been brought near in Christ. You are near the holiest of the holies. In fact, so near that the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. Amen. You are near to God. You have been brought near by what? The blood of Jesus Christ. The sacrifice of the perfect life laid down in your place and in my place. It's by his work. That should give you a peace. It's not about performance. It's not about performance. It's about faith in his. He lived a perfect life in thought, word, and deed, then laid down that perfect life in obedience to the Father to die in our place. to give us this active, and none of that would matter had he not risen from the dead, by the way. But because he was perfect, because there was no sin in him, he was raised from the dead on the third day, ascended to the Father at the right hand, and now, according to the scriptures, that is where you and I exist, with him, spiritually, at the right hand of the Father, in Christ, together, unified. Verses 14 and 15. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups, the Jew and the Gentile, one, and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace. I love it that Paul emphasizes. He doesn't say, Jesus makes us peaceful. He says, and this is emphatic because he says, he himself is our peace. Jesus Christ is the only peace that surpasses all understanding is Christ. So what do you mean, Pastor Chris? I mean this. When you seek him, when he is your Lord and Savior, when you see, it's revelation of, and this is Paul saying, be grateful. Look at this. You were out, now you're in. So live your life with that revelation that Jesus bought you and paid for you. So you are his. Now you can walk through anything and you don't have to have anxiety. You don't have to be fearful. You don't have to be afraid to die. You don't have to be afraid of people, places, and things, because you are God's now. And he has a purpose and a plan for your life, and he will not fail. There's the, well, we forget, amen? We forget that. Because we're like, I'm a failure. I just can't do this right. I just can't walk with God correctly. I just can't, whatever. I don't have it in me. Listen. If you're going to discipline yourself in anything, have it be learning who you are and who he is in the Word of God. Discipline yourself and listen, if you've never read the Bible or you have a tough time reading, get a New Living Translation. It's called an NLT, and you will finally understand the Bible. Start there. Because if you don't understand it, who cares? You won't read it. Ah, I want you to know I understand that. But listen, when you understand, God is for me. This life that I'm living is temporary. And there is so much more ahead. And there's purpose in my life for every step. Through the valleys, through the mountaintops, through the seasons of peace, and the seasons where I'm being stretched. There's a purpose. When you grab a hold of that, that nothing's in vain. Nothing happens to you or in your life in vanity. There's purpose in it. God is sovereign. He knows the end from the beginning. They say it like that so you get it. He knows the full story of your life, beginning to end, end to beginning. And he's got a purpose and a plan for you. to step into that purpose and to know that purpose, no matter what's going on, is a superpower. Amen? It's a superpower. Because then you can be used by God. You can be effective to others around you in life. You can be effective to your family members. And walk through your stuff, baby. It's not going to feel good, right? We know that. I'm not going to be up here lying to you. That your feelings are going to be like, yay, a trial. Woo, I get to grow. Super duper. No, but to know that while you're feeling sad, frustrated, angry, there's a purpose in this. There's a purpose in this, Lord. Let me learn what I need to learn. Let my faith grow in this. So when I come out the other side, I look more like you. I have more faith in you, and I can give you glory. So he says that he has made the two groups one and destroyed the dividing wall of hostility. There were walls in the temple, and I didn't fully study which one was which, but I'm going to paraphrase about it. Okay, so there was an outer court where the Gentiles were allowed in. That's the same place that Jesus came in, and they were selling things, and he got super mad and flipped over the tables and said, "You've turned my father's house of prayer into a den of thieves," because that was supposed to be the place that the Jews taught the Gentiles the ways of God so they would be more prepared to receive the Messiah. That was a spot where the Gentiles could actually come and learn about God and worship. So then there was the place, you know, then the next courtyard is for where the Jews could go. And then the next one was for, you know, the priests. And then there was the holy and the holiest of holies. Like, there was levels to this temple. And so there was a wall between that outer court where the Gentiles could worship and the next one where the Jews could go. And it said this, there was a sign that said, "No Gentile may enter within the barricade which surrounds the sanctuary and enclosure. Anyone who is caught doing so will have himself to blame for his ensuing death." So that physical barrier, you know, it illustrates what was happening between the hostility that the Jews and the Gentiles that separated the two groups. Now, that's what's so beautiful about what Jesus did. There is no more hostility between us. Now, I know it's not always practical, right? There's hostility between people because we're sinners. But ultimately, there's no difference between a Jew that has given his life to Christ Deacon David Rudd is a Christian Jew, and he brings such a beautiful angle to Christianity because he's been educated as a Jew. But it's a beautiful thing to see a Jew converted, and there is no difference in the body of Christ. I love you, brother. Thanks for being an example. But look at Galatians 3:27-29. "For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor there is male or and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." Jesus broke down the walls of every division. Yeah, we're men and women. We're different in the physical, but not in Christ. Not one is better than the other. Equal, baby. There's no difference between slave and free. And this is where I brought up Pastor Daniel last service, and I'll do it again. You know, there's no division in anything in Christ. And I love that how Christ has brought two people that were far on each side. Pastor Daniel was a Black Panther in the 60s. Yeah. Yeah, homeboy. He was a Black Panther in the 60s, and I unfortunately got into the whole skinhead thing in prison. And man, now we're best friends. Like in Christ. And it was him that brought us together. Hallelujah. Right? Like, man, brother, I remember when you first got here to his place and you started sending me videos and stuff. And I was like, wow, man, I want to be this guy's friend. I better step up my game. You know what I mean? Like, I better get in this puppy and study. But you inspire me, brother. I love you. Like, I just, man. Whew. Thank you, Jesus. Don't cry. But do you see how beautiful Christ is? Like, so there's no, that's why I'm like, look, if our society or the culture or the spirit of the age says you better hate the Jews, it's the Jews. Don't hop on the bandwagon. Okay? Are there some that are the synagogue of Satan? Absolutely. That's why Jesus called them that. But they're not all like that. And we don't want to jump on that boat. It's a bad place to be. Just like, you know, you've seen some Christians that call themselves Christians and you're like, nah, you're more like the Church of Satan. Right? Amen. Doesn't mean all Christians are like that. It's just there's going to be some bad apples in every group. Okay? So we still have love for the Israelites because of it's a special thing. Now again, they sin. You see sin, call it a sin. Doesn't make you an anti-Semite. You can do that within, I pray that, and this is what's so important about staying in the Word, staying aware, is that you can go, oh, okay, I can discern this. The Holy Spirit will help me discern this between right and wrong. I don't just blindly follow somebody because they say they're a Christian. I don't do that because they say they're a Jew. Right? Amen? Fair to say? Amen. Okay, good. So, let's look at 15 and 16. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two. Out of the Jew and Gentile, one humanity. Thus, making peace. And in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross by which he put to death their hostility. The word for reconcile, say this 10 times fast. Apokatalasso. And it means to reunite or to restore relations between. So he reunites us. Christ has reunited us to God. And he's reunited us to each other as a people. Where in the natural and our sin nature tends to divide us. In Christ, we come together. In God, in Christ, we come together. And it's... And he puts to death all the hostility in between, any kind of past or whatever. We don't look at that anymore. We don't judge each other by that anymore. We can judge sin. We call sin sin and we call truth truth, but we love each other. We can embrace our differences. You know, I like the Catholic Church, they have a ton of like tradition that I'm not bringing here, you know, Dominus Otis. That was Latin, you know, fake Latin, but they love Jesus. They're good people that love Jesus. They're just different. And we're one in Christ. The ones that have the circumcised hearts are one with us in here that have circumcised hearts. And we can be different as long as the foundations are the same, right? Christ crucified, the substitution for sin, the perfect sinless life, and the resurrection from the dead. If we're cool on those things, hey, knock yourself out on the rest. You know, we will be different in things. How about this? Baptists. I love Baptist preachers because of the way they honor and respect the word. But I also am Pentecostal, and I believe that the Spirit is alive and well. All the gifts are available to us. And so, you know, the Baptists believe that it died with the apostles. So there's this one side over here, and then there's, you know, you ever seen the charismatic Pentecostals? Woo! All the way over here, and where I believe that there's this beautiful spot in Christ right in the middle. Where there's value in both. And that's where I want to be. And that's where I want this church to be. And that we can embrace. We eat the meat and spit out the bone. Right? And then we can embrace both of those beautiful, different types of churches in Christ and honor them and love them. Verses 17 and 18, how we doing? 10 more minutes, perfect. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. So Jesus came and preached peace to us who were far away from God, the Gentiles, and he also preached peace, to those who were near, the Jews. And it is through Christ we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. One Holy Spirit. In Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, he says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we've gained access by faith, not by works, into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. We don't boast in our good deeds. We boast in the hope of the glory of one day us being all together, not sick, not sad, not tripping on our body type or our insecurities, but just being whole together. Finally. Wow. Amen. Hallelujah. Now let's go to 19 and 21 of chapter 2, because we only got a few minutes left. Consequently, or that word in the Greek could also mean therefore, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people, and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple of the Lord. He says, therefore, all the things that I've talked to you about, grace through faith in Christ Jesus, by grace through faith in Jesus, brings salvation, brings you in, brings you near, brings you to the holy place of God, where you can have access to the Father whenever you want. You don't need a priest. You don't need a pastor to get there. You just need to pray. because he's with you and he's for you. And because of that, you are fellow citizens in the kingdom. You're a citizen of the kingdom that you cannot yet fully see, is being formed, is here. What do they call it? Almost, but not yet. Is that what it is, Pastor Barb? That's right. Almost, not yet. The kingdom will be fulfilled, but there is a kingdom, God's kingdom, and we're citizens here now. But he says, and not or, and you're in his family. Your family. We're in the household. We in the house, baby. Family's in the house. That's beautiful. The apostles and the prophets laid the foundation of faith with their lives. See, that's the Jews, the OGs of the Bible, laid down their lives and laid the foundation of the church, gave their lives to lay the foundation of the church for us in modern day, our modern day church. That's awesome. And it says Jesus is the cornerstone of the building that's being joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. So a cornerstone is it's a big stone that they would, you know, build their rock houses with or whatever, but it is the foundation to which everything else is built on. It keeps it square, keeps it sturdy. The whole house is anchored to the cornerstone. And that's why he's using that as an example. Christ is our cornerstone. His whole holy temple, the house, is anchored in Christ. He is our foundation. He is our peace. You seek in anything, seek Jesus. Seek Jesus. He is your foundation. He is your strong tower. He has paid the price. There is no more price to be paid. So now you and I can focus on being effective. Repentance, where we need it. When the Holy Spirit convicts, we repent. We turn. We grow. But we are being built into a holy temple of the Lord. We as the global church, being diverse in culture and background, the global church, we're all super different, are joined together in Christ, making us unified and holy. Amen? We are together in this. And I'll finish with this last verse in verse 22. And in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. So not only are we together a temple of God, but we are a temple of God. The Holy Spirit lives in us. This is my temple. That is your temple. Let's take good care of our temples. Amen. Let's watch what we let go in the eye gates of the temple. Let's watch what we let go in the ear gates of the temple. And even taking care of this temple physically with good food and some exercise. It's like a holistic look at taking care of the temple. You're worth it because God lives in you. Amen. Well, I hope this message encouraged you today. I know it encouraged me. I mean, we are unified, and whenever the temptation creeps up to kind of like judge a brother or a sister, let's pray for them instead. You know, we can still call sin sin. We don't have to agree with everything everybody does, but let's walk in love together. And let's never dump let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater and dump a whole group of people in because a couple of them are bad. Amen. So I don't want to end this message today without giving everybody an opportunity. We talked about, you know, being in the body of Christ, being in the family. Well, it starts with giving your life to him, surrendering your life to Jesus. And if you've never given your life to Jesus, I pray that today would be the day that you do that. There's nothing to be ashamed of or afraid of. It is a glorious moment when somebody comes to Christ. Or maybe you've given your life to Christ before, but you know you haven't been living with him and for him, and you just want to rededicate your heart. Today can be the day. And this is not a place where you got to be embarrassed of that. Because we wear it on our sleeve here. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, or you've backslidden and you want to rededicate your heart, I just want you to raise your hand so I can pray with you. Amen. I see your hand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. So let's pray this prayer together. And church, will you help us out? And this is a profession of faith. It's not the prayer that saves you. It's God who you're praying to that does. Let's pray together. Father God in heaven, thank you for your son, Jesus. I'm a sinner and I need a savior. So I ask you, come into my heart, come into my life, save me. I ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit and make your word come alive. I thank you for your forgiveness, and I turn from my sin and I turn to you. Today, I am yours and you are mine. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Father God, shine your face upon your people as they go. Lord, just remind us this week that we are loved, that we are loved by you, and that the strongest thing that we can do is love each other in truth, but in love. So I pray a blessing over your people as they go. Until next week, in Jesus' name, amen. See you next week. Love you guys.